Welcome to Binary Jazz. It's a podcast about, well, we'll find out. I am here, as always, with everyone in the world. Everyone in the world consists of myself, Jazz Sequence on the internet, Chris in real life, occasionally, and my friends, Gary, who's probably over in that direction. I'm pointing to this over here. It doesn't matter because if you're listening on audio, who's Gary, Binary Gary on the internet, and Allison, who's down here, and is Allison Plus on the internet.
Like north and west of you, and I'm east of you.
You're in a straight line to me. I'm in the middle.
In geography, those things are true.
Yeah. Which way is east from you right now, Chris? I need to know.
East is...
Allison, east is looking directly at your way. Camera? Oh, wow. Okay.
So. I'm basically facing east.
This is so weird because the interaction for me is actually like you both pointed roughly the same direction at your cameras, and east is that way. So like you're... You're oriented.
We're all oriented facing east. Well, except for you, who's oriented facing west, so that east is behind you. Yeah.
Which makes sense because we're both westerly.
But now I'm like, what is sneaking up behind? Like, let me know if something's sneaking up from the east, please.
I don't know how to respond to that.
No. In case you're new, we've been together in a while. It's good to see you all.
Yeah. Yeah,
I feel like I'm new to the podcast.
This is a show where someone comes up with a topic, and Gary and I just talk over each other. And
like most meetings I attend,
and Gary and I try to figure out. Oh, usually it's Allison that brings a topic. If it's not Allison, then it's someone else. And then the other
someone
people
on the show, though, right?
We're not open to external topic submissions,
are we?
We're doing that thing again, where we're just talking over each other. Nobody can hear anything. It's awesome.
And how would it work if someone submitted a topic and we didn't know? I guess would we look it up at the end?
I suppose.
I don't know. That's the part I'm panicked about.
Yeah,
like he said, someone brings a topic. Like, but it probably has to be one of the three of us.
We did put it out there at the very beginning as we started the podcast that if people want to suggest topics that we didn't know anything about, that we would talk about those things.
In hindsight, that's a funny strategy.
It is.
Because like no one knew we existed at that point.
Well, that's true.
And it's so different now.
Thank you. That's where I was going.
We do have quite a lot of Russian spam that we could talk about.
I think we've covered the spam segment today, honestly.
Have we?
Spam and genitalia.
What?
I was just calling up the name for my new album.
Can I just show off my new mug? It was made by this.
I'm glad you did. Because when you took a drink out of a minute ago, it looks to me a little like acorn in nature. It feels really fall. I like it.
It's made by this local potter who lives like two blocks away from me. And I was saying that I was going to go buy a mug, and a really good friend of mine contacted her and was just like, basically bought a mug on my behalf and then just told me to drop by and pick out a mug. Nice. So yeah, this is my new mug.
Lovely.
I don't think we should jump over the Russian spam. I'm translating.
It's too good, huh?
I'm translating it at the moment, and yeah, it's pretty good. Speaking of spam, I learned a new word in the last week or since we recorded last, because I've been doing all my new training stuff. There's a word for those spam text messages that you get, and it's called smishing.
Hmm.
And
that makes me uncomfortable.
Right? And the spam
episode is not great so far.
The spam voicemail messages that you get is called vishing.
No.
It's true.
No, it's
there are
not.
Words. There are words.
I'm not Googling
that.
I'm not adding to the vernacular by even acknowledging that those letters together would be considered a word.
And one of the videos that I watched, one of the training videos on internet security, it had a well-known hacker dude, Kevin Mitnick, I guess.
Oh yeah.
And it had.
You know, I use computers these days.
Was that?
Is he allowed to use computers now? Because part of his parole was that he was not allowed to use a computer. You remember that?
I don't know even, but I know that he wasn't talking. No, he was using a computer. He was, because he was just showing how you could inject, you could get access to all of the accounts on a computer through a hacked ICS file. It's pretty cool. Like, you could get a whole payload of like usernames and passwords from like everyone on the network.
So he hasn't retired.
Yeah, no, he's he's a white hat. Anyway, that was interesting. But the more interesting one was, I can't remember her name. I could probably look it up. But she was an expert in what's it called? Where you pretend to be someone else, where you pretend to be
catfishing.
Yeah, it is a it's a word though. It's sort of like that.
Thing.
Man, the
did it have to end in ifing?
No, it doesn't end in ifing. The word escapes me. Basically, she would
social identity fraud.
Sort of, but not that. Social engineering. There. She was an expert at social engineering. So she would send out these text messages and then and to talk about like how these things are sent. And like, you know, like you send out a text message and you say that you're, you know, the CEO of the company. You find out all the information about the person that is your target, and you send them a text message and say that you're CEO of the company and you can't get to a phone, you're using a borrowed phone or something, and send me all of this stuff right now. It's super urgent. I need to get to this. I'm like late for a plane or something. You add there has to be an element of urgency in there, but and that's all like interesting, but like the way that she said these things was super super smug. Like, she kind of had a smirk the entire time and she was like really amused by all. So it was hilarious to watch her talk about, like, well, I could do this and then I would do this and then I would do this. And she's like kind of like patting herself on the back a little bit in her Australian accent. And
Just for a second, remember that context. This was like part of your onboarding?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause there's all this stuff about like internet security and whatever. And so with the idea, I guess, that now that I'm an employee of this new company, that I'm going to get like catfished. Like, people are going to try to smish me, to gain company insights.
Oh, don't like that.
All right. So I'm still translating all of the cool Russian stuff. This is the last one. There's four new Russian spam smishing. What is it when it's email? I guess it's just spam if it's email. All right. So all of these, well, I guess the first two are a combination of Russian and English, and the second two are all Russian. The first one translated into English. I think you are making a mistake. I can defend my position. Email me at PM. We'll talk. He is definitely right. And then it says FNIA. And then it says Android, gingerbread. And then in Russia, and here, Android camera.
Gingerbread, so good.
It's like the gingerbread thing reference to the old Android operating system, do we think?
Probably. That makes the most sense. When I was reading it, it was just like some weird, like, we're just
going to... Do you remember, I don't know, maybe not. You remember the old Free Kevin bumper stickers? It was like orange, and then in black it said Free Kevin when Kevin Mitnick was in jail back in 2000 and, well, probably 2000, the year 2001. Yeah. And it was super edgy to have that sticker on the side of your computer because damn sure couldn't afford a laptop at that point in my life. So I had this big, ugly.
Yep. All right. Second Russian message. Sticker on it. Second Russian message. It is a pity that I cannot speak now. I am late for the meeting. It will be released. I will definitely express my opinion. And then in English, plastic and metal in stud poker, for example, 7-card stud. Best essay writing service, Yeah, right. Some of each participant's cards are laid face up on the table in order that. This is what reminded me of the smishing and bishing and all the other ishing things, because like reading these translated, it's like, here is a thing, it's urgent, you need to get in touch with me immediately, it's something very important, like, you know, the semblance of urgency. Okay, the next two are entirely in Russian. In my opinion, you are making a mistake. I propose to discuss it. Email me at PM. Please skip.
Wait, did we do this one already?
No, it's a different one. Please skip. I ask for a diploma SFU, diploma rewarding, and here a diploma MGIMO.
Are they selling diplomas? Can you afford me that one?
If you were going to buy a diploma in something, what would it be?
Paleontology.
That's a good one. Yeah. The last one, why is it so fired? I'm sorry, but I think you are wrong. I can prove it. Email me at PM. We will talk. Diploma of the participant, spread of the diploma, and here is the diploma of a speech therapist.
I feel like when you asked that question, I immediately thought, like, what can I get a diploma in that I would be like very unlikely to run into someone else who would have like deep questions, right? So, paleontology is the first thing that came to mind. Like, I definitely wouldn't want to be like English literature and like run into someone. They're like, oh, blah, blah, English literature stuff, blah, blah. And I'd be like,
I think what I love about that is you can't even come up with a thing for them to be quizzing you about.
Blah, blah, Shakespeare, maybe?
When English literature is such a huge genre, you could have named any book.
Literally any book. Oh no! I think we lost your sound, Gary.
Did we?
Oh, there you are. Okay. You're just very quiet.
I was laughing so hard, I was silent.
Yeah.
I was squealing. It was beyond the frequency of response.
It was definitely beyond the frequency of hearing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we have a topic today, or are we just gonna?
We do. I mid Slack scramble managed to dig up one.
Mid Slack scramble.
Yeah.
If you send spam maybe on Slack, is it slishing?
I don't like this. I don't like this.
I don't either.
Now I've forgotten how to say it. Catacresis.
Uh-oh. Spell that for me.
It might be catacresis, actually.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, C-A-T.
C-A-T.
A-C-R. Wait. C-A-T-A-C-H-R-E-S-I-S.
C-A-T.
This is a stage of growth for
cat.
Caterpillar. Caterpillar.
And a cat. Into,
yeah. Have I told you what Charlotte calls caterpillars?
Hmm?
Have I told you this? No. Charlotte calls caterpillars caterpillows.
Caterpillows.
I know. It's so fun.
It's hard because it's just like, can you just never... I mean, you don't want her to keep saying it when she's older because then she'll be made fun of, but at the same time, could be fun.
Here's my strategy on that. Tyler used to call them fingers, right? Fingers. And we were like, well, eventually he's going to read it. And that'll be the time that he understands it as fingers. And until then, we're going to enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
And there was no conversation about it afterwards. Like, it was just like he started calling them fingers and Ron and I were like, oh. Later on, after he went to bed, but that was it. He wasn't like, I found out today that it's actually F-I-N-G, not T-H-I-N-G.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm going to stage a complaint right now. I want to stage a complaint right now as I'm setting up the episode template that it sucks that you cannot tab after a YouTube embed block. Or why hit enter, you? Or hit enter. It just doesn't work. Like every other block in Gutenberg, okay. If you hit tab or hit enter, it'll take you down to the next line. If you do that with a YouTube embed block, it just sits there.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. Really dumb. Do not like. That's the WordPress complaint.
I don't want to talk about WordPress. Never mind.
Catacresis.
Catacresis? Catacresis?
Catacresis.
So
Katie did.
I don't think it's for caterpillars though. I think this is like some other kind of insect.
I think it's catacresis.
It's a stage of growth for insects. And if it weren't that,
I'm just thinking of really gross, terrifying things that I don't
know. Some author I studied in my English degree.
Yeah. Also, I have an English degree, and like every English degree is different, so you could easily masquerade.
You think so?
I
don't know that I can pull it off, honestly. I feel like I would be so intimidated. Like
what you do, you just need to read one book. Yeah. Just one book.
Really well.
And then say that your thesis was on that book. So like my thesis was in Catcher in the Rye, and then I can just talk about, just relate everything back to Catcher in the Rye, everything, always, all the time, every single thing. Just know that one book really well.
Yeah. I actually have lots of opinions on technical literature, so there's that.
That could be a whole thing. There's some universities where you come up with your own major, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, over here. Creative arts and the digital revolution was my major.
That fits you so well.
It does.
It's just like one umbrella.
That was really the point, was all the Chris things in one umbrella.
The only thing that's missing is maybe like cats or like animals or something.
Cats are a recent phenomenon.
There, yeah.
Cats are post-college, actually.
Post-college development.
Yeah. Yeah. They're my post-college.
Georgia has been parading around with, we have like a little toy stick with like a piece of fabric hanging off of it. And she like, you know, parades around the house, like dragging it behind her. And she's so proud of it. And when she's done, she sets it by her food dish. And it's just so fascinating, this like, well, of course she would store it there. It's her kill, you know, but also it's so fucking adorable.
Juniper, one of her favorite toys is not a toy at all. In fact, it's just a scrap of this fake fur stuff that we have various scraps of, because Lila likes making tails and ears, like cat ears and tails or fox ears and tails or whatever. So we have all of this like fake fur all over, and we have these little scraps. And so she has found, and now they're hers now. I mean, there's no question that there's several scraps of this fake fur that are her favorite things to just bring around everywhere. But she has taken to, and then like when she was a little bit younger, she would go into Lila's room, particularly like when we went away on trips, she'd go into Lila's room and find various, just small like Beanie Boo stuffed animals and just like take them out and move them places. So we'd come back and there'd be these Beanie Boos all over the place. And now, so we have a number of things that like those stuffed animals or like other things she's got, like she had a hat that was like a monster, like a Muppet monster kind of hat thing with these dangly things down and with little balls at the end. So now what Juniper is doing is we've stashed them all in one place. Like this is the pile of stuff that needs to be sewed that we'll probably never sew. She's taken to finding those things and just taking like just whatever is in that pile, she just grabs and takes somewhere. She grabbed a blanket. So like there's one blanket that we have that she can carry, and in the morning we'll just find random stuff around the room that she's found in the night and decided that this is hers now.
This is mine now.
And that is catacresis. That is when a cat claims something that is not cat-like or not necessarily a cat toy and claims it as their own. Catacresis is the process of something becoming a cat toy.
Creasing. It is the creasing.
The creasing, that doesn't sound right.
It doesn't. I realized it when I said it, but I was hoping that we could just move on.
That's not what we do at all.
I'm extremely amped today. Extremely amped today.
A lot of extra coffee, or are you just excited to see us,
or is it WordCamp?
It's WordCamp. Like this Q&A thing.
It has nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
Like, we recorded our thing, and I'm like, eh, it's fine. Like, I wouldn't even show up the day of, right? And then I was reminded, well, no, there's a Q&A. Okay, well, okay, I'll show up for the Q&A. And I thought, like, well, it's a Q&A. Like, I'll just pop in. But in my head now, like, it's become a thing. And it's I'm going to be exhausted by the time this is over. Can't be this
time. What time is your Q&A?
It's like 4:45 my time. Geez. I know. I've got a long way to go. I need to pace myself. But
yeah.
I'm gonna have some caffeine at lunch.
Some gingerbread.
Oh,
should I pay attention to WordCamp today?
No, okay. Nope. I'm not. I'm literally going to be in one session. But also, all right. I wasn't gonna talk about it, but here we are. There's like this, like in the last like 2 weeks, there continue to be more and more acquisitions, right?
Yeah.
And some of them, I actually think Sandhill really kind of surprised me. Not because, like, okay, they're a perfect target for acquisition. Doesn't surprise me. But what surprised me was the post and basically, like, you know, CEO was like, I'm not excited about developing for the internet anymore. And I haven't been for a couple of years. And like, part of me goes, well, like, how does that fit into this conversation we're having about, like, it's gotten really fucking hard to just, like, write stuff because of Gutenberg and write stuff that doesn't break, you know? And we're seeing that where I am, where it's like, oh, like, let's not screw with, like, meta-related stuff. Let's just build our own API and get it out of WordPress entirely. We have this, like, entire infrastructure that's, like, it only exists to be, like, a core API where we can build data models in the shape we want and interact with them in the way we want. Because it's faster to do that than it is to do it within the context of WordPress. And it's like, so as WordPress, like, you know, hits this astronomical climb, like, that's super cool, but also, like, it's causing, you know, disruption, and people hate change. So people are not going to, right? Like, that's the thing. So, like, I'm still doing a very poor job of working on Gutenberg, and I still am uncomfortable and slow at it, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. I just don't have any reason to be faster or better or care about content being entered that way, especially when the world I live in is, you know, e-commerce, and you look at, like, a product model, and that's definitely a bad fit for,
yes,
you know, that kind of content management. So I think there's, I don't know, I think that maybe it doesn't matter. Who cares what some guy in a blue shirt thinks, right? But
my opinion about Gutenberg, the block editor, at the beginning was, especially when I had used it on several projects, was that this is awesome. We can tailor these blocks specifically to what people want and need. And my opinion generally hasn't changed, because that's still technically true. However, most people, like the majority of people, don't have the budget to make use of Gutenberg in that way. And therefore, they are at the mercy of whatever shit they can find, which is subpar. I mean, yeah, on or subpar as compared to what else is out there.
I mean, like, well, yeah. Let's go a step. Oh no, I don't know. Do we want to do this? Sure, let's do this. Fuck it, why not? Like, let's go like a step further. And so I'm doing some freelance work at an agency right now, and there's, like, you know, the core Gutenberg blocks that have, like, a very obvious interaction, and they feel like they were well thought out and are part of the CMS. And then there's these ACF blocks that are registered that are, like, this, like, completely different, like, paradigm. And so if you're in a situation where you mix the two, you're like, what the fuck is this interface?
Yeah.
And then, in addition to that, are other plugins that have other features that maybe work somewhere in a different way between the two. And it's like, this isn't better. This is, like, way worse. Now, instead of having one interface, I have interface plus X, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas at least with the old meta system, like, you know, they might look a little different, and Yoast was 50% of every screen you looked at, but... you know, at least, like, the input was reasonably reasonably consistent. So yeah.
Also, you get into issues where, like,
on this
the existing core blocks aren't built out thoughtfully. Like I had to rebuild a cover block essentially because their cover block doesn't have alt text. Like that's a basic thing. Why wasn't that even included in the, and they're like, oh, well, it's because it's supposed to be just for decorative. And I'm just like, well,
but
people aren't like, that's not what people are actually using it for. So that's,
you don't get to
like, whatever it's in the next release. That's not, and I'm like, well, too late. I already had to build out the block. Like,
yeah, right.
And now there's, well, whatever, I disabled it so they can't choose the other block, but like hypothetically, just so frustrating. Fun
one. So do you remember, actually at this one, Chris, we were sitting next to each other and Matt kicked off State of the Word and it was in Gutenberg, right? All right. So that it was like, it was this slide presentation in Gutenberg, like, all right, conceptually, I'm totally there. Like that is a fantastic use case for this technology. It's super smart. I'm working on the training team. And that's actually what I'm talking or talked about, or this is what the recording's about. And so like the training team, like there's a big marketing push to it. So the marketing push is like, hey, there are learner badges are coming so that you can sort of track like what you've learned, but also you can show potential employers like, hey, I know how to use the block editor because I've watched the following courses and I can do local development and I understand PHP and Composer and block, you know, or product or project management or whatever. There's like, you know, a whole plethora of stuff is the concept for these learner badges. Great. So obviously like learner badges, like behind that is actual content. So the production of the content, the conversation is where do these slides live, right? There's like a quality requirement for people that are recording these videos, microphone, blah, blah, blah. Well, the slides are fucking living on Google right now. And I'm like, it's .org, like own your own content. There's this conversation about this plugin and it's like, well, Meta doesn't want to own the plugin. Great, you have developers on the Learn team, make them own the plugin, right? Fine. And so that's the current like thing that baffles me. And I'm ordinarily not this animated because I don't, it's just, I'm animated today because I'm just animated today. But also like, it's just baffling to me. Like why would the default not be own the content? Like there's so much value in that.
The whole
from translation perspective, from the accessibility
whole promise
perspective
of WordPress is own your own
from
content.
Being able to use it in China perspective. Like that's a thing, like, cause Google ain't in China. Like that hasn't changed and we've all forgotten that. And it's like, whatever, you know? So every time there's like a meeting, I just ask about that. Like, is there any possibility of getting off Google Slides so that we can make this globally accessible and like have accessible content, easily translatable, blah, blah, blah. I don't repeat the same thing, but you know, I'll pick at it from different ways. Yesterday, I'm going to blame Slack for this. Yesterday, I'm like, cool, I'm gonna do like a code review of this Slack plugin. So if anybody's interested, you can join me. And people were like, great. A couple people were like, yeah, I will. So I posted like, here's my Meet URL. And I hopped in and for 10 minutes, I sat there by myself. And I'm like, this is the other side of what it means like to work in open source, right? Mm-hmm. The other side is like, it's really easy to have opinions and ideas, right? It's more difficult to get consensus and actually move forward. Yep. So like, I don't know. I'm glad I got that out of my system. I actually care a lot less now.
Yeah, well, I think that like it's not a secret why proprietary systems exist and succeed. It's because they are able to make decisions.
Yeah. The other part of this that I realized, I'm back to doing like a stupid amount of walking. Have I warned you about this? No.
I mean, you haven't warned us, but like doing
just, I mean, we always assume you're continuing to walk.
Okay. I did 100 miles in September.
Wow. 100 miles.
Yeah. Yeah. Which turns out to be like a lot of time. Which like, anyway, so I was thinking about like my current job and I'm doing this like freelance thing on this with this agency that I used to work with, and I'm doing like some, you know,
stuff. That's catacresis.
Yes. And like
obligatory mention of the topic.
Just need to bring it in every once in a while.
Appreciate it. Is one of the things I realized is that like somewhere in the past year I got to the point where I'm like, I've been able to finally, I've been trying to do it for so long. I've finally been able to be like, I'm not my job, you know. Like I've so often defined myself by my job, right? Like my title, like the work I put out, like the quality of the work, the value I feel in it. Like, and that's like, I mean, that's obviously this just like deeply embedded capitalist thing, you know, that like hard day's work, blah, blah, bullshit, right? Hoorah. And so being able to like disconnect from that, like I'm still doing good work, like where I work, and it's fine. But also like, I don't feel like I am, that's all, not all I am, but I don't feel like that's like the biggest part of who I am, or even like the most important, or maybe even top five, you know, like eating's cool, but at the end of the day, that's about the relationship I have here, this place. It's like, I need to do it because I need to feed my family. And I mean, it's work that I enjoy and that's cool. And if it sucks sometimes, like, well, I can deal with a little bit of suck, but if it sucks too much, like, I'll just go somewhere else, whatever. So that, I guess that was some of that realization, is that as I think about some of these bigger ideas about open source and stuff and like interact and play with them to see where they lead me, that just doesn't matter. It's like, just not, maybe I have killed the capitalist ego, or maybe not killed it, but I'm holding it underwater right now and it's struggling. Hey, that's a gross metaphor. Oh, I'm sorry.
Not the metaphor we should use.
This episode is just like, this is the bookend to the episode where I said that
you don't have to repeat
everything
it.
Was rotten, right? This is the other end.
I had a conversation the other day on Slack, work Slack, about the capital P in WordPress.
Oh.
Because somebody made the obligatory capital P dang it comment, and I said, you know, I used to get hung up about that, and then someone pointed out that it's super gatekeepy, and it made me rethink my own values, and also that I have worked for places that would literally filter people out whether or not they had capital P in on their resume. And like, there could be a number of reasons why someone didn't put a capital P in their resume and is still a competent, like, WordPress, maybe not, I mean, let's just say it, let's say you could be a competent WordPress expert and not spell WordPress with a capital P. I said it, I put it out there in the world. Like,
whoa,
it feels weird though.
Controversial opinion.
Like, I held on to the belief that that was like the opposite of true, and like John Blackburn, who I respect a ton and worked with and is an amazing human being, basically said that at some point in some Slack ticket, no, Slack, a track ticket, I think, or somewhere, that like, if you're trying to show authority in knowledge about a thing, then it shows that you didn't actually pay attention, enough attention to know how to spell the thing correctly that you're trying to express authority in. And while I do think that at the time, which is like, I don't know, 6-7 years ago at this point, there is value to that thought, there's also other context that doesn't take into consideration. So I've flipped on my, but it, like, it made me realize, and then I went down a rabbit hole of like the history of the capital P and like why it matters. And the answer to the question of why it matters is because it matters to Matt. That is the only reason why it matters. It doesn't matter in the software. It doesn't matter in the branding. You could be branded with a lowercase p just as easily as you could be brand. I mean, Squarespace is like capital S, lowercase s. I mean, you know, like not just because you're mashing two words together and you're trying to say like, well, this is a space for squares. This is where we press the words. It doesn't give it any more. Like, a jetpack is not a pack for jets. I mean, you just.
I basically try to camel case anything now, and it's problematic because not everybody does.
You know what's funny is that, I don't know what PSR it is. One of the PHP like coding standards has that casing, right? And that's what I tend to use in all my code, which is definitely not like WP standard, but WP would have you, like, you know, function names are lowercase all underscore lowercase under, yeah. 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 Which is weird. Like, why aren't WP coding standards, why don't they match the trademark? Makes you wonder. Can you not just not, you can't collect royalties on that. So who cares? That's what it is. It's capitalism, man.
Yeah, I also had to explain, and because there's somebody who's legitimately like came from like Drupal background and didn't know the history. And so I was like talking to him about it. And it's the same person that I also had to explain that if you use WordPress in your anywhere that's not authorized by the foundation, that they will come and try to take you down, which is also like just dumb and arbitrary. Arbitrary. I won't say dumb. I'm not going
to
say dumb.
I get it from the perspective of like, if you own a trademark, you have to enforce it.
Yeah, sure.
You know? But hey, I have two problems.
Only?
At least two problems.
There you go.
The first is, I don't think that this new account of yours is going to time out.
I don't know if that's accurate.
Okay.
But
I'm nervous.
When did we start?
11:09 my local time is when the URL went in, the shiny new address. As to when we got started, probably within 2 or 3 minutes of that.
What's your second problem?
Yeah, what's your second problem?
Oh, it's a lot more nebulous. My second.
I'm like, okay, well, the first one we just sort of have to wait and see.
Yeah. My second one is capital P, like. I think logically, like, we have outgrown the need for that, right? Like, who gives a shit? You're absolutely right. There are companies, though, that we all worked for that, like, would throw resumes out and they wouldn't get good developers. But at the end of the day, it didn't matter because there's an endless supply of the kind of developer that they want to hire. And so that is an arbitrary filter. Functions as a proxy for the kind of people that like geek out on silly, like inside baseball stuff within the industry. So for their purposes, like there is value in that. Is it like, are they limiting developers that were going to be like, you know, amazing company changers? Like who cares? That's not what they want.
Right.
You know, like it's a great filter because you want people that are going to color inside the lines there.
I know, but that's disappointing as a whole, right? For the industry, as far as like longevity and sustainability, it just means that the people who don't fit those standards will be forced out of the quote unquote community.
Or they land somewhere better, or they move on to a community that's not so dumb.
I think there's something to be said for that for sure. As I don't know, I have so many feelings that I cannot sum up.
In the acquisition space we're in, right? Like agencies are not being acquired, which shows you the value in agencies. Like agencies are in the pyramid, they're the very bottom and who cares, you know? Or maybe I don't know. The bottom seems like it's important, stability. A pyramid's a bad thing. So, there's a chat message.
Yeah, I just said you might be right. I'm looking at my profile.
He's mumbling it, though. He doesn't want to admit it.
It says that I'm licensed. I'll have to switch accounts next time. all right. Well, in that case, since we're not going to get a countdown timer, what is catacresis and how do you pronounce it?
catacresis? I don't know. Anyway, it's the use of a word in a way that is not correct.
So the cat that's using a toy that's not intended to be a toy is kind of on this right track.
Really too meta for me.
Yeah.
I'm feeling called out.
But it's often used in like a kind of like a mixed metaphor way or just like the incorrect word for a situation. So for instance, if it was like burglar preyed on the elderly and it was P-R-A-Y instead of E-Y.
Yeah. I love preying on the elderly.
Yeah. It was nice seeing you guys.
Do we have any? We already read the spam.
Uh huh. We have another spam, but it's entirely in English. It's actually from someone whose name is that has the name that is here is the name of someone I think that I worked with who is doing some MLM thing. So this actually might be legit.
Wait. It's still spam.
Oh yeah, it's for sure still spam.
Okay.
But it's like maybe actually from, it's either spam from somebody who's spoofing themselves as someone that I used to work with at Whole Foods, who's doing some MLM stuff, or it's actually that person who's still doing some MLM
stuff.
It says, hello, any small business owner knows that when you start a business, you're squeezing as much as you can out of every penny, but it's all too common, especially for inexperienced entrepreneurs, to make financial missteps. I was wondering if I could write an article for your site outlining the most common business financial mistakes made by small businesses and how to avoid them. What do you think? Thanks for your time. Cameron Ward, bizwealthbuilder.com.
No, thanks.
Yeah. I love these emails that are like, that I get every once in a while that are like, hey, I saw your site and I thought it was relevant to this thing that I wrote. And I would love if I could write for your site, or if you could like link to my article over here about something that's tangentially related to something mentioned in a blog post from 2012.
This is why the strategy of not owning a blog is paying off in dividends for me. I post once every 2 years. About. Seems like plenty.
I still haven't posted about changing jobs and something that I was going to write about, and then I just haven't.
I feel like
I wrote a lot of stuff about that when I was leaving, and like all of the reasons and all the thoughts, and like there's some of those things that I don't necessarily want to put out there in the world. And so like the idea of like talking about it publicly on my blog, it just was, and like figuring out what to say and what not to say was just so much just mental overhead that like this is the problem with blogs, honestly. Like there's so much just process in like what do I say and how much do I say and how deep do I get, that it's just like, nah, fuck it,
bring back Live Journal
or be a hermit.
That's
I'm leaning way more into that. Like I'm not on LinkedIn.
I left LinkedIn behind and it felt so good.
Instagram is apparently like a big thing where stuff happens. I don't know.
I like Instagram, but I don't know. I curate my feed, so it's like pretty things.
Yeah.
I guess maybe all I notice is because where I work, people are always talking about like something a client did or said on Instagram and blah, blah, blah. And if they link to it in Slack, I cannot view it because you cannot click and open it without an account. So I'm like,
wow, I didn't realize that.
Ignorance is, I mean, it doesn't, like if it's really important, like, and it affects development, like it'll get ticketed and I'll deal with it then. But yeah, like for now, like, okay.
Also, do you know, if you have an Instagram account, but you don't have a Facebook account, you can't pay for advertising on Instagram.
Hmm.
One of my clients found that out. She doesn't.
I was going to ask if you figured that out yourself or Tech Kevin, but I don't guess you don't really advertise for that.
No, but like because she doesn't have a Facebook account on purpose, but she has an Instagram account, even though it's like dwindling. But she was like, "Oh, maybe I'll pay for advertising," and you couldn't unless you had like the full business account page and everything on Facebook.
Crazy.
And she was just like, "It's too bad because I'm trying to give them money, essentially."
Right.
Apple undercut the Facebook ad infrastructure with their like opt-in thing. It's apparently like significant in the drop in metrics that advertisers can now access on Facebook.
All right. So since we actually have to click an end,
sad.
Yeah, it is sad. I like it much better when it just randomly drops us. Mm-hmm. I will definitely log into my personal account next week.
Okay, sounds good. It was really good seeing you all. I look forward to doing it again next week.
We've never had a goodbye in a Binary Jazz. It's so bizarre. I just
we
don't
can
know
just
how
keep
to.
Talking until you get
I don't know how to. Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.